Welcome to the C-Suite. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and we are very excited to have an interesting guest for you in the studio this morning. It is a rainy day here in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's a great time to talk business. Well, any of you who know me, you know it's always a great time to talk business, but I'm here to do that and give you an inside look into the C-Suite with Chief Executive Officer Raheem Charania, who is the CEO of American Fueling Systems. And this is a company that I got introduced to actually when Raheem and I met recently at an event, and they're doing some very innovative stuff. So I'm excited to dive in. Raheem, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's great to be here.
So how did you, you've had a long and diverse career as I look at, you know, all the things that you've accomplished professionally through the years. How did you come to this venture?
Well, you know, back before the real estate bottomed out in the market in 2008, we were, and we have been since 79, predominantly real estate developers. In the tail end of our real estate development field, we started to look more at sustainable development practices, and it was something we were very passionate about. Unfortunately, in today's time frame, with the economy the way it is, building new sustainable development properties is not really an option. So, since we have such a passion for sustainability, we said, what is the next avenue? Then where can we make an impact in that form? And we looked at fueling. Since we already had a portfolio of fueling centers, we looked at the future of that particular business and said, you know, is petroleum really the future of our economy? Can oil really meet the demands that are being placed on it, not just nationally, but globally? Or do we need to start looking more in depth into alternative fuels? Through our research, what we found was there is a tremendous demand for alternative fuels, not just for the environmental component side of it, but now because gas prices are over $3.50 a gallon, for the economic side of it as well.
So, I mean, and not even just from a consumer-driven market, but also from the B2B world.
Absolutely.
I mean, because of the economics.
Yeah, our first focus actually is on the B2B world. And the reason for that is, you know, you convince one company, let's say, for example, a large company like AT&T that has made a national commitment to convert a number of their vehicles to compressed natural gas. One company can make a 35,000 vehicle
right
difference.
The B2B impact is substantially larger than convincing one person to drive a hybrid car.
Exactly. It exactly is.
So, I mean, as I'm looking at what you're doing, it's a great way to enter into the market and really make a big impact. So you're offering services to fueling stations or fleet companies. Actually, there's an incentive program that you recently launched. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Recently, we've launched a cooperative agreement that we are funding with $1 million of our own capital. And that cooperative agreement really allows, you know, the biggest issue right now with fleet owners and fleet managers is, how does alternative fuels affect my fleet? What are the costs? What are the benefits? What are the paybacks and the rates of return? While you can go to a number of different conferences and get a general prototype numbers, everybody believes that their system, their company is unique. And because of that belief, which is really standard across every single person you talk to, we said, hey, listen, let's go and do a deep dive individually into these organizations. Now, this feasibility studies would normally cost an organization $15,000 to $25,000 per feasibility studies. And that is a hindrance, especially in this economy right now, to spend $15,000 to $25,000 just for information. So what we said was, why don't we fund it for them? Why don't we, out of our own pocket, take $15,000 to $25,000 worth of our work product, give it to them for free, so that we can incentivize them even further to start really looking at alternative fuels for their future. Organizations have already started doing that. For example, we've recently been awarded by the Department of Energy and Clean Cities in a grant, the Petroleum Reduction Grant, $750,000 to build a fueling facility in DeKalb County for DeKalb County's refuse trucks. This grant is part of a larger grant that was given to DeKalb County to not only fund our station, but also to fund a private station for themselves at Seminole Landfill and purchase up to 200 CNG-run refuse trucks. So large organizations like this are starting to make that impact right now in the market. When we put in infrastructure that allows them to get that fuel, when those vehicles become more readily available to the consumer, they'll start to actually know where the fueling centers are for it.
This is something that, I mean, alternative energy sources is a topic that is not new. I mean, people have been talking about this and the necessity of going that route for a long, long time. Why is it happening now? Why do you see now as being somewhat of a tipping point where we're actually going to see the bar tip in that direction?
Elizabeth, that's a great question. And ultimately, it comes down to price. Every other time that we have tried to do alternative fuels, gasoline has been cheap enough to where it did not justify the difference in cost. There had to be a $1 incremental cost or better between the alternative fuel and, for example, CNG, and gasoline before it started making sense. And it had to stay at a dollar differential for an extended period of time. It can't be a fluke for a couple of months and it's coming down again, because then people don't believe it. We've been at or above $3 a gallon for well over a year now. People understand that $3.40, $3.50 is the new normal. It is not going to go back to $1.99 ever again.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
I was waiting.
Yeah. When I first started driving, it was 79 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
So we're definitely not going to see 79 cents again.
Ever again.
And there's reasons for that. Number one is that you've got 2 billion people in India and China who want to have the same kind of lifestyle we have in America. And the new oil finds we're going to aren't like, you know, my father used to tell me that, you know, back in the early 20s, 30s, 6 guys in a truck could go in the middle of Texas and put up a drill and get oil. You know, now you've got to put a $100 million deep well oil drilling machine in the middle of the ocean, or you have to do a mining operation in the middle of Canada's tar sands in order to get the same kind of product.
You have to work a lot harder. Find those kinds of...
And the break-even point for that oil is a lot higher. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago where they were talking about Russian oil, and Russian oil does not even break even until it hits $125 a barrel. So, I mean, those are some big numbers.
Right. So the economics of it is obviously a substantial portion.
It's a driving force.
Okay. So in terms of your company and your company's growth, tell me about what the next year, 18 months, looks like for the organization.
Well, this is going to be a very exciting year for us. By September of this year, we are planning to open up our facility in DeKalb County, which is at 2 miles inside the perimeter on Buford Highway. That facility is going to service not only our Fortune 500 and Fortune 1000 companies, as well as SMEs and DeKalb County's refuse truck business. In addition to that, we have already scouted out about 3 additional sites, 2 of which we hope to start construction on this year, and they will either open up late this year or the first quarter of 2013. So by this time next year, we're going to have 3 CNG facilities opened up and pumping fuel, which is great, because a year ago, in all of Georgia, we only had 1 CNG facility. And now, by the 2013, we're going to have 9. I'm doing 3. There's another company, PS Energy, is doing a couple themselves. And, of course, Clean Energy Fuels, which is probably the largest company doing compressed natural gas fueling facilities, they're also doing it.
Wow. So that's pretty impressive in terms of
900% growth rate. You can't beat that.
That's fantastic. So, I mean, as the leader of the company, what do you see as being the most important role that you play as you chart the path of growth, but also, you know, bring the rest of the organization along with you, along with your customers, your vendors, your partners, all of that?
You know, it really comes down to being able to sustain a vision for the organization. And our vision, which we pass on to every single person that works with us in our company, is that the future of the transportation infrastructure is not changing our reliance on oil to another fuel source. But really, the future of the U.S. transportation infrastructure is about having a varied fuel source. You know as well as anybody else that if you have one supplier for your business, that supplier controls your business. Well, in this case, you need to have multiple types of fuel uses. What if in the future 20% was on gasoline, 20% was on CNG, 20% was on LPG, liquefied propane gas, and the remainder was on hybrid vehicles and diesel? You would use the vehicles most that had the cheapest fuel costs at the time. That is good business sense, and that really is the future of America's transportation infrastructure in our eyes.
So by having multiple choices out there, the nature of the competitive forces
It's the American way. Choice is good. The other thing that we try to drive home with all of our people is that, you know, we've gone through an industrial revolution. We've gone through an information revolution. I think the next century is going to be marked by a sustainable revolution. It is companies that can really focus on a sustainable front that can allow for their business practices to be sustainable over a longer period of time that are really going to see the most amount of growth.
That's a substantial claim in terms of what's going on in the economy. But I know you're such a visionary, and it's inspiring to see, you know, what the vision has created thus far. Portfolio management, because this isn't the only thing that you do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got a lot of different things going on in terms of business ventures. How do you make decisions in terms of how you're managing a portfolio of companies and investments?
Well, we really kind of categorize them and put them into tranches. Where is the most of our revenue coming from? It's divided into two things, revenue and time. What's going to require the most time and what's going to bring us the most revenue. They're not necessarily correlated. Sometimes the things that bring the most revenue require the least amount of time because they've already been put in place and there's a standard operating procedure that keeps it running. American Fueling System, unlike our other ventures, is what is right now the driving force for our business. It is what is going to lead our business into the next century. This business or this conglomerate that we have together was actually started by my father back in 1979. And I took over about 8 to 10 years ago. And the idea is to grow it even further from here, to allow for our business practices to create a more sustainable world, as well as find opportunities for those people that work with us to grow and enhance their own careers.
Now, is there government support of this sustainability revolution?
You know, I think there is. You know, obviously there has been the American Recovery Act, which did fund the petroleum reduction grants, which were out and it was sustainable. It was a multi-state effort and has gone to a number of different institutions nationwide. But in addition, the federal government is also working on passing what's called the NAT Act 2011. It's the New Alternative Technologies Act. And that NAT Act would give significant tax credits to those companies that purchase dedicated CNG vehicles or compressed natural gas vehicles. We think it's a great, step in the right, it's a step in the right direction. Whether or not they actually can pass it, you know, it's an election year. A lot of things are going to be up in the air because of that. I'll tell you our thinking as a business. If your business relies on the government before it can be successful, then you're in the wrong business. Let us focus on what we do best, and then whatever the government does, we'll work around it. You know, if they do pass the act, that'll be great. It'll incentivize more fleets to convert over to compressed natural gas. We have a ton of natural gas in this country, a ton of it. We have a 100-year supply. We're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas in the whole world. We've got so much of it that really we need to be using more of it. Why burn it? It's like burning money.
Right.
We have it. Let's use it. It's a viable alternative fuel. We sell compressed natural gas for $2.20 a gallon versus today I filled up my tank and I paid $3.62.
Right.
So it's $1.40 difference. You know, and if you look at the cost of purchasing a new compressed natural gas vehicle, even that, the payback will be fantastic.
How long is the payback before you're able to?
Well, it depends on the kind of kind of driving habits you have, how many miles you drive, and things like that. We did feasibility studies for a Fortune 500 company where their vehicles drove 12,000 miles per year, but they lasted about 10 years.
Okay.
And if you look at the rate of growth of gasoline, which is about 5 to 6% a year, and the rate of growth of natural gas, CNG, which is about 2% a year, what you're going to find is that the incremental spread over a longer period of time tends to increase. So their savings were astronomical. They were looking at the ROIs of 310%, total net savings of $32,000 per vehicle, and IRRs in the 40%.
Now, when you talk about building a whole national infrastructure to support these CNG vehicles, mm-hmm. I mean, that it's such a big landscape, the United States, to cover. How do you figure out how to do that in a way that's not going to bankrupt you before it makes you rich?
Well, hopefully the rich part will come first. I'll tell you, it's a couple of different ways. Number one is, the old model of alternative fuels was that you'd build this really big station that would have a 10-mile grasp of the market. So basically, you drive 10 miles out of your way to get gas. That was great when there really wasn't that demand for it and you could only justify building one. Our philosophy is build smaller units, but build more of them. So you eliminate one of the biggest concerns of alternative fuels is this concept called range anxiety.
Right.
Am I going to
when my battery runs out, or when my
am I going to have to tow my car?
Because
it's not like you can take a tank of gas and put it into your compressed natural gas car anymore. So that was a big thing for us. So what we've worked on is trying to find locations that would allow them to be at any point in the city and fuel up. That is our philosophy.
Okay. Wow. So that any point in the city.
Yeah.
So a city like Atlanta, where you know we've got.
You know, it should not be more than 10 to 15 miles away from each other. Now, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet right now. Our goal is to get there. Will CNG facilities be as dispersed and as numerous as gasoline stations? Not for a very long time to come. You have to get the consumers more into that before it actually starts to happen. But will it start making a very strong push forward? Absolutely. There are large companies like AGL Resources, which have recently passed through the Public Service Commission their Universal Service Fund, which they've allocated about $11 million towards helping companies like American Fueling Systems build more CNG facilities. That's a great boost for the market. That's going to allow us to build more stations, even with a finite amount of capital that we may have within the company, because we're also using the capital that AGL Resources brings to the table.
Okay. So they're kind of matching and and helping with the financing. And so obviously they see that there's money to be made in that market and it's worth putting up.
You know, AGL has been in the gas business for a long time. I think if anybody knows what there's money to be made in the market, it's AGL Resources. So
how does the U.S. sit in terms of our progress going down alternative fuels versus the global landscape? Because you look at, Europe, where their gas prices are so much more than ours, have they made strides sooner than we have?
Yes, absolutely. India, China, Argentina, the number of countries you can just name off that are at 30% or more of their vehicles are running on compressed natural gas.
That's so the U.S. is lagging behind globally in terms of adoption rates.
It is. But, you know, there's a reason for that. It's not because of lack of ingenuity or lack. It's really a motivation factor. When your gas is the cheapest in the whole world, what's the motivation? Even today at $3.50, all of us are crying about it. But London is today at $9 a gallon, which would definitely make us cry.
I don't know what people would do.
Oh, yeah. They would have the surge to alternative fuels would be expedited even further from that. And that's really what's happened here is that, you know, oil is a dollar-based commodity. And because of that, it's always more expensive. People that don't use the dollar to purchase the gas, to purchase the oil. So, for us, it's always been cheaper than everybody else. The only other people that have had it cheaper than us are people where countries like Saudi Arabia and a lot of the Middle Eastern countries that subsidize gasoline prices. We don't subsidize it. So, it's been a motivation factor. But at $3.51, guess what? It becomes a little bit more enthusiastic. As the U.S. looks at alternative fuels, you know, we have to look at our total, even energy landscape. I'm not sure if you know how we get our electricity. Today, 50% of our electricity comes from coal, 30% comes from natural gas, 18% comes from hydropower, and the remaining 2% comes from alternative fuels. That's wind and solar and anything else. While Germany, for example, 27% comes from alternative fuels, and that's wind and solar. That's 100 times our number.
So within the electricity market, there's a lot of room.
There's a lot of room. There's a lot of room for alternative
shift.
Fuels. And today, less than 1/1000th of 1% of the vehicles in this country actually use an alternative fuels.
What's the environmental impact? The difference between the environmental impact of, say, burning coal versus using CNG?
Well, I mean, there is tremendous. It's tremendous. Compressed natural gas would be compared to gasoline and diesel. It's about 30% cleaner in CO2 emissions, 90% less particulate matter. It's a night and day difference. Night and day difference. The other advantage is if you've gone and driven down Peachtree Road or anywhere else in Atlanta and driven past a MARTA bus, you'll notice it right away. Because when the MARTA bus moves, it doesn't have that cloud of black smoke that comes out of it because it's running on CNG. While if you go to any other city that's not using CNG, using diesel buses, you can sometimes get caught in that cloud. The other thing is that CNG vehicles are usually quieter. They have about a 40% less decibel rating than a diesel vehicle. So when you're driving down suburban areas in a bus, well, guess what? The vehicle's quieter. So besides the environmental impact, there is a social impact in that quietness of the vehicle.
Of just making a city more livable.
Livable. And that's really what we come to. Before the real estate market plummeted, what was the direction the real estate development was going into? It was going into mixed-use development, LEED-certified buildings, solar panel-lined roofs, and more energy-efficient HVAC units, things like that. I think as a nation as a whole, we are realizing that what every president has been talking about since Richard Nixon back in the 70s, that we need to find a real energy policy and find alternatives and utilize alternative fuels if we're going to see a bright future ahead of us, is really starting to come to fruition.
As a CEO, how do you stay abreast of what else is going on in the marketplace competitively and the impact of government regulations that may impact your business?
Well, like any other CEO, we do a lot of reading. We attend a lot of events. But I have one unique competitive advantage, and that is that I have a fantastic group of people in my company. Most of my people report directly to our chief operating officer, Jorge Moroto. And Jorge joined our company from McKesson. And he's one of the brightest guys I've ever had the honor of working with. And he really makes sure that each one of his people, whether it's Joe McKenna, Andy Reid, who you've met, really keeps their pulse on the market to find solutions for us. Ultimately, American Fueling Systems is not just a compressed natural gas reseller or wholesaler. We want to go into biodiesel. We want to go into cellulose ethanol. We want to look at any alternative fuel that would be viable for America's future in its transportation infrastructure.
Well, where can people find out more information? Because I know you've intrigued me, and it's been interesting getting a glimpse behind and into the C-suite.
I'll have to take you for a ride in the compressed natural gas car.
That would be the next step. Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. What about company website, or who should they contact if they want to take advantage of this great incentive program that you've got going
agreement?
On? Right.
If you go to our website, which is www.AmericanFuelingSystems, that's systems plural, .com, you'll on the front homepage, there is a link right there to go to our cooperative agreement. We recommend that all fleet owners, even if you're a hotel owner that's got one hotel shuttle bus or a company that's got 100 vans for delivery, you could equally take part in this cooperative agreement. It's going to benefit your organization. And even if you decide not to act right now because of financial constraints, at least you will have the information you need to progress towards alternative fuels when the time is right for you.
Raheem, thanks so much for coming in
and
joining us on C-Suite Exclusives. We wish you the best, and we look forward to getting an update from you.
As soon as you invite me back here, I'll be back here.
All right. It's a plan. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Once again, this is Elizabeth Gordon, and you're listening to BusinessRadioX.com. Please check out some of our other shows and tune in soon for another episode of the C-Suite Exclusives. We'll talk to you soon.